We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. 2010 has been quite a year for church anniversaries among us. We celebrated the 50th anniversary of the CLC back in spring and again in the summer at convention. Many CLC congregations, the ones formed in 1960, have had church anniversaries too, such as what Messiah is doing right now. 50 years can seem like a long time, especially if you're young. If a married couple stays together for 50 years, it's impressive to people. They usually want to honor the occasion and honor the couple with a party. What about a church staying true to its cause for 50 years? Is the anniversary celebration of that group a time to honor the people, the members, or the leaders as the key to success? With church anniversaries, there's always the temptation to misplace the credit. We cannot pat ourselves on the back or say way to go to each other. If the founding fathers of the CLC were here today, they would be against that idea and would tell us as much, I believe. God is certainly here today to say, don't do that sort of thing. Don't act that way. If a church is being loyal to God and His Word, which means staying true to the Bible and rejecting all the errors, if a group of Christians is truly orthodox, it is entirely the doing of God. Only God can make that happen through the truth of His Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn from the past to the future, looking down the road. What the challenges may be, remaining orthodox in spite of some fierce opposition, really. There's something we can count on. The same thing that our forefathers had in 1960. I direct your attention to 1 John 2, verses 24 through 27. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And as for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. The Apostle John refers specifically to the Holy Spirit when he says, the anointing which you receive from Him abides in you. This anointing, the Holy Spirit, it's something that happens the moment you become a Christian. When the Spirit comes into your heart for the first time and creates your faith, He comes to stay. He comes to be the constant tutor sent from heaven, whose specialty is showing you what the Bible says. Or as John puts it, He's there to teach you about all things, which means all the teachings from God and about God, all the true doctrines as laid out in God's Word. Of course, this is not some automatic thing, like downloading files onto a PC. And it doesn't happen in your sleep either. It will involve the usual type of mental activities: hearing, paying attention, reading passages, thinking the details through accurately, yes, applying, remembering, learning, and relearning. But as you do all of that, with the Bible as the focus, the only source of truth, it's the Holy Spirit who connects the dots in your mind and makes the truth stick in your hearts. Now consider what the long-term objective of all of this would be. What is the point of it? Is it about being accurate? Being right? Is it about being able to say, I'm on the side of God? Hear again what verse 26 says. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Sounds like a warning. There are people trying to deceive us. The Apostle John would say in this same letter, many false prophets have gone out into the world. The lies are out there, the spiritual kind, the deadly kind, and your God wants to keep them away from you. And so he says to us, test the spirits, beware of false prophets, watch out for those causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you learned, and avoid them. He says these things to keep you safe, to keep your faith intact. It's because he loves you so much that he acts like a good father, instilling these spiritual safeguards to protect you and me and every other believer from spiritual harm. So, if we continue to be as our forefathers were 50 years ago, if we remain orthodox, as the term goes, today, tomorrow, and beyond, it would only be because of God's doing. And that makes it a hopeful thing. However, it would be a careless thing on our part to take a careless attitude to the Bible as though it doesn't matter what we do or don't do with the Word of God. Let's remember the potential we all have to lose it, to let it go, either quickly or slowly. However, and here's the good news, with Scripture as the truth speaking for itself, and the Holy Spirit as that teacher, constant tutor within the heart, we still have God at work dealing with the devil, overpowering the lies, claiming us for the truth as well as for himself, and then using that same truth to preserve us together, banded together as his people, on the right basis. For that, all of that, we can and should thank him in our church anniversaries, and then look to him, count on him for more of the same. Let this be our prayer and our goal, our expectation, relying on what the promise here is, the anointing, the Spirit that the Lord sends us. Amen. We close today with a Pentecost hymn, 224, the first two stanzas of hymn 224. First two stanzas.